One of the key things we need in order to execute a maintenance program is spare parts and equipment to facilitate repairs. So part of the reliability contribution to that effort is a failure rate, or the expected number of spares that we're going to need over some period of time. And so understanding those different patterns of increasing or decreasing failure rates helps us understand the changing nature, changing rate of spare parts that we're going to need over time. Now, there's a lot of money in parts, and stocking the appropriate number, one, so you don't run out and keep your system inoperable while you're waiting for parts to arrive, or vice versa, having so many spares that you fill up warehouses full of unused parts. So calculating spares is big money and big business for many organizations, and it's something that we're going to need to know how to do as part of being a reliability engineer. Now, one way to look at this, there's a couple of different models and different strategies, and like many of the sections in the body of knowledge, this could be an entire course, and it actually is a course I've taught before that goes into great detail about ordering spares, essentially, and approaching your maintenance programs. But one of the things we want to do is get the right number of spare parts when we make an order. So if we're going to go to purchasing, or we're going to the store and we're buying a group of parts, it's a balance between how much they cost and how quickly we use them, but also the cost of processing the order. Many organizations have kind of a known set of costs for petty cash or for purchase order. And there's different variations of those, of course. But also it costs money just to keep it in the storeroom or to have capital tied up in carrying those parts and holding those parts in inventory. So that you might need to get a hold of a finance person to find some of the values of these numbers. But the basic idea is that by taking the usage over some period of time, and in this formula, we're looking for an annual usage rate or an annual usage. And then what's our cost in order to set up and process an order? And then dividing that by our interest and carrying costs, which is basically how much it costs to warehouse and own the parts. And then what's the cost per part, which is usually more a more significant value. But then it gives us what is called an economic order quantity. So it gives us a value of, well, how many should we order in order to accommodate our needs over some period of time? And this gets tailored and balanced by, well, what is the lot size and what are the price break points? What's the uncertainty of the failure rates and the rate of usage, if there's changing nature of that? In a variety of other strategies, but this is one of the simpler formulas and what gives you the idea of the types of information that you need to balance in order to find the right amount of spare parts. Now, if you walk into any maintenance stores area, you'll see almost always a set of bins of nuts and bolts and screws and other common relatively low cost items. And that's one of those things where it's grouped by the dollar amount. So they're the kind of thing that you probably have a vendor that comes in and takes a look at the number of nuts and bolts and so on of different types that are remaining within the bin, and then tops them up and gives you another box or puts another set of 100 or 1,000 of those units right in the bins. And those are very low cost, and somebody comes in and services it. In an office environment, you may see this as office supplies, where periodically somebody checks how many pens we have and pads of paper and other items, and just makes a purchase of to refresh the stock on occasion. But because they don't cost much to carry and hold, but they're also very variable as to when and which ones you need, it makes sense to group them and order them in that manner. Now, in other times, we want it to be, we know that we have a major repair coming up, say a gearbox for a motor system, a drive system, and those are rather expensive. And holding one of those in inventory, when we may or may not use one in the next 3 or 5 years, it makes sense to have some prediction that you know you're going to replace that gearbox. And this is when you have some predictive or prognostic type system. And then make that decision in time to order it, the part, with its lead time, such that it shows up when you're ready to do the repair. Now, of course, the danger is that it fails before you can you have the part in house. So it's in areas when you have, say, a scheduled maintenance. You know that you're getting close to the end of life for a particular, say, that gearbox, and so you order it just in time. Another way to do this is, let's say I have 10 sets of bearings for the different equipment I have, and I'm using, say, 2 or 3 per year and or over some period of time. And it's a pretty typical rate, but I can buy them at a price break if I buy them in boxes of 10. And so it may make sense to buy 10 at a time and have them on stock for a couple of years. And as that number of units get used, as it goes down to, say, 2 or 3 or some other number, and we can calculate what that number is with a little bit of effort, is then make a reorder. And the reorder point is, in part, how long does it take to process the order and receive the components? Because you have to have enough remaining inventory to hold out until you have exhausted the time until you receive the units. And other points is that you don't want to take it down to 0 and then reorder, because you know how that works, is that you're going to have 3 demands for that particular component. And so there's an ongoing dance, basically, for items that are inexpensive, and we just maintain a reasonable number of available units and don't worry about it all that much. Others, we do a little bit of thought into it and have a standard process in order to, when it gets down to a certain level, we order another box of those. And then others that are usually very expensive, we order them so that they arrive and don't really go into the warehouse. They go straight into the repair process and into the maintenance program. Now, we can get at all of these ways and systems by having good reliability data, but more importantly, we can also use different simulation tools and analytical tools to estimate how many spares we should hold on at any one time. So there's plenty of different types of systems and programs that go into maintenance. There's the regular periodic lubrication, and we can track how often and how much lubrication we're using and just maintain enough bulk material to meet our needs. But other systems that are, say, gearboxes, as the example I used earlier, they wear over time. And we can monitor and predict when we're going to need to do those major replacements. Other things we do is monitoring, inspecting, and then plotting that data to take a look at, are we optimizing the number of spares we have to avoid the cost of downtime, but not overspend on the cost of warehousing it? So your organization may or may not know this number, and it's probably worth knowing, is how much money do you have tied up in inventory, and is it the right amount so that it balances out the risk of having to wait an extra day or an extra month for that spare part to arrive? All right, well, this ends this particular section or module, and just as I've done in most of the other ones, is a reminder to work the samples in the reading, take another sample exam. If you need one, let me know, and I can get one over to you. I'm still working on getting them all posted up to the course. And then if you have any questions, a few of you have noticed things that needed updating in the course, but also let me know if anything's not clear and if anything needs to be gone over again or more, have another example or something with it. So I look forward to hearing from you. In the next section, we're going to take a look at Module 8, which is really on Section 7 of the Body of Knowledge, and we'll take a look at the data that we need to do a lot of what we've talked about so far.